Jesus Christ. Amen. In his book, The Meaning of Marriage, pastor and author Tim Keller relates a personal story of a time when he wasn't listening and his wife needed to get his attention. As he tells it, they had recently moved to New York, and he told his wife he was planting a church, and he told her it was going to require more of his time. And so for the first 3 years, he wanted to let her know he needed more time to devote to the planting of his church. And she agreed to that he wouldn't be at home as much for those 3 years. After those 3 years were over, she reminded him of his promise. And he said, just give me a few more months. And she agreed to that. And a few months went by, and she reminded him again. And he said, just give me a few more months. And it went on like that, unchanged. One day, Pastor Keller walked into his apartment and he noticed the door to the balcony was open. And he walked in the apartment, he heard a smash. A few seconds later, he heard another smash. He walked out to the balcony and to his surprise, he saw his wife sitting there with a stack of their wedding china and two smashed saucers on the floor. She was holding a hammer, and down she went with another. She said that she was about to smash it down. She said, you aren't listening to me. You don't realize that if you keep working these hours, you are going to destroy this family. I don't know how to get through to you. You aren't seeing how serious this is. This is what you are doing. And she brought her hammer down on a third saucer. At first, he thought she had gone insane. And then he noticed how calm she was as she repeated to him what she had been saying time and time again. But this time, he was listening. He had realized that he had become deluded by his work schedule, thinking that this was okay, and he had become addicted to his level of productivity. And that afternoon, he really listened to his wife's complaints, and he agreed to make changes, and so he did. For Pastor Keller, that was a wake-up call. His wife had to take drastic measures to get his attention so that he would finally hear what she had been saying all along. Now, as we come to the Transfiguration today, Jesus is doing something similar. Jesus is taking drastic measures to get his disciples to listen to what he's been trying to tell them all along. If you go back a few verses from the Transfiguration, at the end of the last chapter, Jesus has an important question. He asks his disciples, he says, who do you say that I am? Peter, speaking for the group, says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter gets it right. And from that moment, Scripture tells us, Jesus began to fill in his disciples on his mission, what he had come to do. And so they're ready to hear what the Christ is going to do. And what do they hear? They hear him talking about how he must go to Jerusalem and be arrested and die and rise 3 days later. Well, this sounds like a terrible plan for the Christ. Peter didn't like this plan, and so Peter says to Jesus, you might want to rethink this. This is never going to happen. And then Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. They weren't listening. They weren't hearing what Jesus had to say when he talked about his mission to die, to rise again. And they needed to hear this, otherwise they were going to miss the cross. It was that serious. And so Jesus had to get their attention. And knowing his disciples weren't listening, as he spoke about his death and resurrection, Matthew tells us, and after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. The four men walk up the mountain, and then Matthew tells us that Jesus is transfigured before them. Transfigured, that's where we get the word metamorphosis, like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. The human nature was peeled back for a moment as they saw his divinity shining through. Light was shining from Jesus. And then they see these people next to Jesus. And it's Moses and Elijah, two important people in Israel's history. Moses, of course, is the one whom God handed the commandments to. The law was handed to Moses. And there's Moses now representing the law. And then there's Elijah. Elijah is one of the prophets in Israel's history, an important prophet. And there he is representing the prophets. And so Moses is there representing the law and the prophets. That's how they sometimes call Scripture, the law and the prophets. And here's Moses pointing to Jesus as the one who fulfills the law, who does what no other person can do. And then here's Elijah pointing to Jesus as the one the prophets had been speaking of. And here's Jesus fulfilling the law and the prophets. But the disciples still weren't listening. As he sees Jesus in his glory, Peter says, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." In Luke and in Mark and their Gospels, they make it very clear that Peter didn't know what he was saying. His words were getting ahead of his brain. And he just started talking. He talked about building tents or booths, as it's sometimes translated. These were shrines, ways to honor these men. Peter wanted to stay there on the mountain and live in the glory. And he wanted to preserve it and build these shrines, one to Moses. Of course, Moses, he's so important. And of course, there's Elijah. We're going to build one for Elijah. Oh, and you, Jesus, you're obviously as important as these other two. We'll build another one for you. You see what Peter's doing is he's putting Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah. He doesn't see anything distinct or unique in Jesus. So Matthew tells us, he was still speaking when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Finally, he has their attention. And we can say that with some certainty because Matthew tells us when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. The voice of God obviously scared the disciples to death. I mean, it's the voice of God. The booming voice of God would be frightening. And no one can tune out the booming voice of God. When God speaks, it's a bit terrifying. You see, God speaks to us too. And sometimes what God says can be terrifying. He speaks to us in His holy and inspired Word. And unlike the voice there on the Mount of Transfiguration, we can tune this voice out. We can choose not to read God's Word. And I think a lot of times we don't want to read God's Word because we don't want to hear what He has to say about us. Because it can be terrifying. Because in His Word, God speaks to you and me and talks about how we don't measure up to His holy standard. We are to be holy as He is holy. He says that all have fallen short of the glory of God. He's offended by our sins of thought, word, and deed. Scripture tells us that we are all sinful by nature and justly barred from the presence of God. And He's completely within His right to punish us eternally. I mean, you read that, you consider it for a moment, you take it seriously, it's terrifying. The Word of God exposes us for who we really are. It takes courage, then, to open up Scripture and to let the light of God's truth speak to you. If we take our sins as seriously as God does, then like His disciples, God gets our attention. Just look how he got the disciples' attention. Why does Jesus reveal his glory? Why does God speak audibly on that mountain? He wants them to listen. He's just trying to get them to listen. The Father says, "Listen to my Son." And notice the very next words of Jesus. And you better believe the disciples are listening now. He's got their undivided attention. And what are the words, the next words out of Jesus' mouth? Matthew tells us Jesus came and touched them and says, "Rise and have no fear." Have no fear. Jesus, you see, has the power to take away the holy fear that comes upon sinners when they are exposed to the holiness of God. Jesus has the power to take away that fear. And he can do that because he is the one who brings us back to our Heavenly Father. Sinners do not have to fear the presence of God when they listen to Jesus. 1 Timothy 3:2, verse 5 says, "There is only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all." Jesus came to do something about the gulf between sinners and God. He touches his disciples and says, "Rise, have no fear." Because he has a mission to accomplish. Because he is going to Jerusalem to be handed over, to be killed, and to rise again. And through his death and resurrection, he's going to reconcile sinners to God. That's what he needed his disciples to hear. That's what he needs us to hear. When we listen to God's word, we hear that we are sinners before a holy God. And that is scary. But then God says, "Listen to my Son." And Jesus says to you and me, "Rise and have no fear. Do not fear, because I have come to forgive you so that you will be with me in glory." That's what Jesus says to us. In God's word, we hear how much we sinners are loved by our Heavenly Father for Jesus' sake. And if we are loved by God, then there's nothing in this world that we should fear. Don't listen to your fears. Don't listen to your doubts. Don't listen to your insecurities. Don't listen to your guilt. Listen to Jesus. Jesus has come to remove all fear, all doubt, all guilt. Listen to him from the cross. On the cross says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." From the cross, Jesus says to a condemned criminal, "Today you will be with me in paradise." On the cross, Jesus was forsaken as he was covered in our sins, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And with his dying breath, Jesus said, "On the cross, it is finished." Through his blood, we have been redeemed. And nothing more is required. We are completely and totally accepted by our Heavenly Father because of Jesus' death and resurrection. The Transfiguration was Jesus' attempt to get his disciples' attention. But to us today, it's the cross. Because nothing shouts the love of God more than the cross. There, we listen to Jesus. Now, I didn't quite finish that story with Pastor Keller and his wife, and I feel like I need to. Otherwise, you will think that his wife did go insane. After his wife got his attention by smashing the saucers, and he sat down and agreed to change his ways, he told his wife that he thought that she was having an emotional meltdown, and he asked her how she was able to gain control of herself so quickly. And this is what she said. She said, "That was no meltdown. Do you see these three saucers I smashed? I have no cups for them. The cups have broken over the years, I had 3 saucers to spare. I'm glad you sat down before I had to break any more. See, she smashed those saucers out of love, not out of anger or insanity. She was willing to break the china in order to mend a relationship with her husband. Look what God was willing to break. He let the hammer come smashing down on his son. He shattered his own son so that he could have a relationship, to mend a broken relationship between him and us, so that we sinners could be called children of God. If you pay attention to the church calendar, you know that today being Transfiguration Sunday, 3 days after Transfiguration Sunday, is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. Starting today, Jesus makes the journey from the Mount of Transfiguration all the way to another mountain called Golgotha on Good Friday. Today, the Transfiguration reminds us of the glory that Jesus willingly set aside as he made his way to the cross. As he journeyed to the cross, God calls us to listen to Jesus. Because the journey our Lord will take, experiencing the darkness of betrayal, denial, abandonment, and crucifixion, he does that for us sinners. It takes courage to listen to God's word during the season of Lent, because the season of Lent is designed to focus us on our sin. And when we truly listen, we see how sinful we really are. We see how seriously God takes our sin, and we see that we are far more sinful, far more evil and wicked than we ever thought possible. But when we see that Jesus was willing to take those sins on himself, we see that we are far more loved than we could ever imagine. May we always listen to Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the life everlasting. Amen. This time I invite you to stand as we profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.